The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at an historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laugh as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower. Now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Ridiculous History is a production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, and welcome back to the show, Ridiculous Historians. I'm Lauren.
I am Michael Alder June.
And we're not the people that you're probably used to hearing on here.
Yeah, you're like, who in the hell are these people?
Well, if you are listening on the day this comes out, it is International Women's Day. And a thing that iHeart likes to do for that is to have some of us lady hosts come on and do a takeover for some of the dude hosts. And so Ben and Noel invited us to come talk about some weird stuff with y'all.
Yeah. And Lauren is being very nice in referring to us both as hosts. You've probably only heard my name if you've heard it at all associated with the shows Where Were You in 92 and the fabulous Too Much Information. I cut tape on those. This is actually, I think, my first time on the business side of the microphone on one of these. So I'm very excited.
Maybe on these podcasts, but you have plenty of experience. You've got a long and storied career. You've done some really stellar interviews.
Oh, okay. So Lauren is referring to my dozen or so years in public radio before this, during which time I got to run out into traffic in the middle of Atlanta and ride shotgun in a race car. I once conducted an interview whilst climbing Stone Mountain. That was fun. Ooh. And exhausting.
Yeah. Breath support.
Yeah. And I once interviewed Spike Lee. That was terrifying.
Oh my heck. I would have not gotten there. I would have been stuck standing in my house, not remembering how to tie my own shoes.
It was not one of the times when I was making my job look easy, I'll put it that way.
Well, making both of our jobs look easy today, with us, as always, is super producer Max Williams.
Max?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Yeah.
I'm still here.
Well, thank you.
Couldn't get rid
that.
Of the entire crew. We need somebody to push buttons and to look things up for us and to make us sound like we aren't a couple of bumbling fools.
And I'm here, and I am qualified to do it, possibly.
We trust you. We trust you. Okay, so for today's episode, we are going to be talking about houses. And not just any houses, but haunted houses. And not just any haunted houses, but haunted houses that have been legislated about.
Yes, there is at least one home in America that is legally haunted. And we know about that thanks to real estate. And I don't know if y'all have ever tried to buy or sell a house. I'm in the process of attempting to buy a house right now. And I can speak to you from extremely personal experience that it is arduous and complicated. And there are all kinds of like weird plot twists that pop up. Like, I don't know, man, like, is that mold in the wall going to require me to tear down the entire house? It could.
Yeah, the insulation in the attic, does that still work? Or am I going to have to take all of that disgusting fluff out and replace it with something that was made in this century? I was at one time a homeowner, and let me tell you, clambering around in your own attic, not fun. Before I went in, before I owned a house, I always pictured it kind of like working on a pirate ship and it being very swashbuckling and getting to, you know, climb up into the attic and clamber down into the crawl space and work on things and, you know, hoist the riggings. And it is not like that at all. It is disgusting. And it is laborious and expensive. It's terribly, terribly expensive. And so when you're buying a house, there's so much to think about. And you probably aren't going to think to ask, hey, also, is there a ghost that lives here?
Right. Is it already occupied by a dead person?
Yeah. There's quite a long way to go between your kids hearing bumps in the night or seeing lights flicker on and off, and then there being, like, lawyers and courts involved. So, like, let's dive in. How did we get to there being such a thing as legally haunted?
All right, let's set the scene, yeah. So the Ackley House is this earnestly beautiful Victorian home.
It's in this wonderful place called Nyack, New York, which sounds like the kind of thing that theater kids use to warm up. Nyack, New York.
Nyack, New York.
New York.
Nyack, New York.
You know I love Nyack, New York.
It's not too far away from the legendary Sleepy Hollow.
Spooky.
And if sure. And it was built in like 1890. You know, it's just one of those beautiful, sweeping Victorian homes. You know, it's got all of the wood paneling. It's got the wraparound porch. It's got that kind of turret sort of thing. It's got an in-ground fenced-in pool, 8 bedrooms, 4.5 bathrooms, like 1.5 kitchens, because there's one in what I assume was the servant quarters. Lovely. You know, it's got the stained glass in the windows and stuff like that.
It sounds like the kind of place where, like, a murder mystery would take place.
Mm-hmm. But has there been? No one knows. We don't know much about the early occupants of the house. Some people say that it was probably owned by a family that still lives in the area. There's just not a lot of documentation. But it does stand out from the other houses on the street.
Okay, so we should note that the house is not the site of any, like, infamous murder or some kind of heartbreaking tragedy. The rumors of ghosts go back to the mid-1970s, so we're jumping way ahead in time. And in 1977, Reader's Digest published this article titled "Our Haunted House on the Hudson," and it was written by this woman named Helen Ackley. The Ackley House. She lived there. She was married to a man named George Ackley. She had 4 kids. And in it, she wrote these flowery descriptions about the family's many ghostly roommates that lived there. And it's funny because while it is a ghost story, it feels more like somebody describing like an unexpected pet living with them. Like maybe not like an elephant in the room, maybe like a one of the smaller, less lethal wildcats, like a lynx. Like if a lynx came to live in your house unexpectedly, but you like kind of made way around it.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, oh, you know, could it hurt us? Maybe.
Maybe.
Oh, how cute.
Sure. Like, it's just standing here enjoying the views of the Hudson River with me. You know, I asked it if it likes my paint color choices, and it didn't disagree. So, heck yeah, let's keep the lynx and let's write a charming Reader's Digest article about it.
So, like, just to set this up, I'm just going to read a little bit of this description.
Great.
Just from the first couple of paragraphs. I saw our house for the first time on a hot July day in 1967. A bedraggled old Victorian. It had stood vacant for 7 years. Okay, red flag right away. Huh. Its waist-high lawn clutched about a sturdy stone foundation. Its wood-shingled roof was awry. But as I followed the real estate agent and my husband, George, into the spacious hall, I knew I was home. So this is the tone that she's going for.
Yeah.
And so even before they get all of their boxes unpacked and their stuff moved in, local children start wandering up. I imagine like kids like scooting up on bicycles.
Oh, yeah.
Wearing like those Jughead crowns.
Probably.
You know, local ne'er-do-well 12-year-olds who rode up and warned them that like, hey, did you know that you just bought a haunted house? Because like this was the talk of the neighborhood. Everybody
sure.
knew to... It had been vacant for 7 years. Everybody knew to... I imagine everybody knew to stay away from it. And the local kids probably had all sorts of like stories about what could have happened in the house.
Oh, sure. I mean, it's also like a low key creepy old Victorian. And that's, you know, there's one of these, or I mean, even if it's not a Victorian, there's one like slightly in disrepair home on every street that the local kids have a story about. And this was that one. And right, the couple and the children go on to have any number of supernatural run-ins. There's moccasin-style shoe-clad feet on the stairs. There's a dude in the hallway in, like, perhaps Revolutionary War-era attire. The
powdered wig and everything.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Very proper. The daughter, Cynthia, who was in high school at the time, said that over Christmas break, every morning, her bed shook her awake. And she wasn't, like, scared particularly or mad about it, except like she wanted to sleep in. And so one night before she went to bed, she was like, hey, I'm on vacation, dude. Can I sleep in? And it didn't happen that morning. So
I love how laissez-faire they are about this whole thing.
Right? I mean, I don't know. That's as long as nothing particularly frightening is happening. This all seems just fine.
Yeah. Like having a, you know, a lynx just like padding
right.
around the house, sleeping
just
in the
fine.
Sunbeams. It's like, just leave it alone and it won't claw your eyes out. And it'll be fine.
But so, okay. The ghosts were not the reason that this couple decided to eventually sell the home. You know, they were just ready to downsize. So they
imagine, you know, they had like empty nest syndrome.
Sure.
They had this gigantic house on the Hudson.
Right. And they'd fixed it up. You know, they were ready to make a little bit of a profit. So it's 1989. They list the property with Ellis Realty, with agent Richard Ellis. And this young couple, Jeffrey and Patricia Stambofsky, are interested.
Remember that last name.
Yeah.
Stambofsky.
Yeah. They get interested and they put in down payment.
So, okay. So talking to that realtor, according to Helen's daughter, Cynthia, Helen Ackley did, in fact, disclose the haunted nature in a, you know, just bringing it up in passing. Like, oh, by the way, there's also a lynx that lives here. By the way, this place is also kind of haunted. You know, fun fact, you know, not in any kind of like, hey, before
like,
you
watch
go
out.
In. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you were to ask Ellis, the real estate agent, he remembers even her refusing to sign her end of the contract before having a conversation with the Stambofskys about it. So like she did make it known that, hey, place is haunted.
But there's like a ghostly he said, she said about this, because the Stambofskys insist that they had not heard about this. And furthermore, that they don't believe in ghosts, but that they do believe in the market and that ghosts can impact the market. So after they heard about this whole ghost thing, they wanted to pull out of the deal. They, in fact, filed action against the Ackleys for, and I quote, fraudulently misrepresenting a material condition of the home. By
so
not mentioning
the
links in the room. Yeah.
Yeah. It's scratching up the furniture, you guys. And with that, these ghostly specters have brought these people to court. That's
it's not even a lynx in the room. It's a lynx in the courtroom.
Yeah.
Okay. The idea here is that whether or not ghosts are real, the fact that Helen had told the whole neighborhood about this, had written an article that was published in Reader's Digest, that this affected the value of the property.
And not by making it go up either.
No. Although we'll get into that a little bit later.
So that complaint was initially dismissed by the courts. The courts threw it out and said that this woman, she didn't have to disclose anything about a haunted house to the buyers. Like, y'all should have asked. Don't worry about it. Not our problem. Get out of here, guys.
Yeah. And that's one of the legal things that crops up in cases like this is a caveat emptor, which is Latin for buyer beware. Basically, it's just saying that it is the buyer's responsibility to do any due diligence in figuring out whatever's going on with the property. It's not the seller's responsibility to tell you. You have to figure it out as the buyer.
I mean, Lauren, speaking to you, like, you know, you're working from experience here.
Mm-hmm.
You went through all of the folderol of buying a house. Like, what did you not think of that you should have to ask? Like, if you could go back and warn yourself, like, hey, ask about the basement or whatever.
I mean, the process is still ongoing, so I guess we're going to find out. But but that being said, like, I mean, I hired a contractor, an electrician, an HVAC expert. And to be honest, I did have a friend come through for like a vibe check. So.
Okay. So you were much more proactive than the Stombrovskis.
Apparently.
Okay.
But at any rate, they appealed the decision. And it went all the way to the New York State Supreme Court.
That's bonkers. This is bonkers to me. Okay, so once it got to the Supreme Court of New York, let me make sure that I'm getting this judge's name correctly. Justice Rubin? Do we have his first name? Hey, Max, do we have Justice Rubin's first name? So we've got like a whole Jackson 5 situation going on in the Supreme Court in New York.
All right. I think I'm pretty certain I have the right one. The right justice, I think, is Israel Rubin. He was the associate justice from 1989 to 2002, born December 14th, 1926, and died May 23rd, 2014. But as June was joking, there are multiple Justice Rubens in New York around this time. So let's call this Max with the partial facts right here and go with it.
Okay. Who's there creeping out of your phone? It's Max! And he dropped the knowledge just for you. So good. There he goes. Max gave you his facts!
So Justice Rubin, who was quite a spring chicken at that point, he disagreed with the former court's ruling that, you know, basically said, get out of here. And he was joined by two other judges, whether they were the other two Rubens, we don't know. He was joined by two other judges to form the majority opinion that the caveat of buyer beware, caveat emptor, should be set aside in this case because the defect is not a physical one. Again, it's ectoplasmic. Now, because the judges were not, you know, tarot readers, they weren't Ouija board enthusiasts. Instead, they argued that things like a violent crime happening in the house, a reputation based on past occurrences in a location, can devalue the market value of a property. And so as a result, the seller should have to disclose this to the buyers. So he was kind of wagging his finger at Ackley there.
Yeah, yeah. The court wrote, having reported the ghost's presence in both a national publication, i.e. Reader's Digest, and the local press, defendant is estopped to deny their existence. And as a matter of law, the house is haunted.
Yeah, as a matter of law.
Legally haunted house.
Where is that movie, by the way? Like, I want to see, like, you know, coming this fall from Miramax Pictures. Elle Woods is back from the dead. Legally haunted. Ammonium thalacolyl.
I think that we could have multiple movies in a year, the same, you know, that once upon a time we had like multiple tornado films in a year.
One
can be a really tense court drama and one can be way more fabulous. You get like fashion tips from the ghosts. You like really start bringing back some revolutionary era fashions. I think it would be really cool.
A buddy comedy with a ghost.
Yes, we need more of those.
Yeah. No, all right. I agree. So, but yeah, so the judge was basically like, Helen, you went and told everybody.
Yeah.
In Reader's Digest.
Yeah.
In great detail. Okay, so just, I'm sorry, but to return to this Reader's Digest article, because it's so flowery and fascinating. Like, it's as if she's writing about, like, just an old friend who stopped through town. So, at one point, she's writing about how she's alone in the house, and she's painting a room. And she feels eyes on her. And I'm reading here. I turned my head. The room was empty. I started working again, but the eerie feeling persisted. So I spoke out loud. I hope you like the color. Hope you're pleased with what we're doing to the house. It certainly must have been lovely when it was built. And as I talked, I kept painting, but I felt the energy of those eyes focused on the nape of my neck. I looked over my shoulder again. Quote, he sat there in midair, smiling at me from in front of the old fireplace, hands clasped around his crossed knees. He was nodding and rocking. He faded slowly, still smiling, and was gone. But I knew that he approved of the work our family had lavished on our mutual home. It's very Nora Roberts, I feel.
I love everything about this story. Oh my goodness.
It's like it's not a ghost story. It's like a ghost story, but for HGTV.
Right.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Noel, do you remember your favorite car?
Well, yeah, it was an Eddie Bauer edition Ford Explorer.
Oh, that's
and
cool,
I just remember, it was my dad's. I was a hand-me-down car kind of kid. Dad would buy a new car, I'd get that car. And I just remember feeling so awesome being up above everybody, like I was in Mad Max or something, you know?
I had a lot of land yachts that I loved. I had Pontiac Bonnevilles.
Right.
Oh, I never had an El Camino. My dad had one. And that was a real interesting use of our collective time, keeping that thing running. But I think these cars all kind of speak to us because they were such a fundamental part of our lives. Do you remember when I had that Monte Carlo?
That's what I meant. I said El Camino and I meant Monte Carlo.
I miss it. So the Monte Carlo was tough. I had a series of Monte Carlos, and the last one, God bless it, I had to learn a lot about car maintenance just to keep that guy running.
Totally.
But it still was like a perfect fit. It's almost like finding your true love. You know, like when you recently got a car a few years back now.
Oh, man. And funny you should say that. That particular perfect fit was the Honda Fit, which I love dearly. But, Ben, it's getting a little long in the tooth. And while it's been incredibly reliable up to now, it's getting to that age where I might have to start looking for some parts here and there to keep it running.
Mm-hmm. And that's where eBay Motors comes in. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly.
Brake kits, LED headlights, roof racks, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it.
And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back.
Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash.
So keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com.
Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Is your underwear in need of a refresh? Meet Tomboy X, makers of the original boxer briefs for women, queer-founded and queer-run. Tomboy X designs sustainable, gender-inclusive underwear and apparel in sizes 3 extra small to 6 extra large. Use code IHEART at checkout for 20% off your first purchase only at TomboyX.com. Shop now on TomboyX.com.
Hey, Noel. Have you ever wanted to wake up to something better?
Oh, boy, have I ever, Ben.
Well, this is where Avalon Waterways comes in. How does waking up to a medieval castle, an ancient cathedral, a rolling vineyard, or a charming cobblestone village sound to you?
Well, here on Ridiculous History, that's right up our street, Ben, our charming cobblestone street. So I can say it sounds pretty good to me.
You're absolutely right, Noel. Avalon Waterways has redefined cruising in so many different ways. They've got the widest opening windows. They've got beds that face the passing scenery. So wherever you go, you have a front row seat to the views of the world. And not only do you wake up in the best staterooms in the entirety of the business, but you're waking up in a new port every day, right in the heart of these amazing historic cities.
Ah, Ben, sign me up. Open your eyes to a better view and a different kind of cruising. One with smaller ships, bigger experiences, fewer people, and more of everything.
Limited time special offers await at AvalonWaterways.com.
Okay, so this house, the decision is known as the 1991 Stambovsky versus Ackley ruling.
Or
right, by its way cooler street name, the Ghostbusters ruling.
Who are you going to call? A lawyer. You're going to call lawyer. A lawyer.
Okay, speaking of, where does the law stand today on haunting disclosures?
Okay, so the Ackley verdict, of course, as court cases do, created a precedent. It's not official state law in New York, but it did set this precedent for the question of whether or not to disclose paranormal activity. And people have come out of the woodwork or the grave work to capitalize on this. Folks like Cindy Hagley, who is a real estate agent, I think in the Bay Area. Max, can I get a fact check on that? Is she in the Bay Area?
I will get on it.
Thank you. She runs the Hagley Group, Hagley, and is the president of, and I love this, Past Life Homes, which is a consultancy that helps haunted homeowners sell their properties.
Yeah, and shout out to HowStuffWorks.com, who interviewed her back in 2020 about all this. And that phrase, haunted homeowners sell their bedeviled properties, is straight from them. Thanks, thanks.
So I got Cindy Hagley's Zillow page up. Well, First and foremost, she, her, hers are her pronouns.
Perfect.
5 stars on 14 reviews. Ooh. That's most important. Specialties, buyer's agent, listing agents, foreclosure, short sales. She is located like in the San Francisco-esque area.
Yeah, okay,
so
great.
San Francisco, Oakland, San Jose, that kind of area. All the way out to Stockton.
And we should note, she's also a podcast host.
Perfect.
She's the co-host of a show called Grave Misunderstandings, which,
no.
Oh my God, I love this so much.
Okay, this is wonderful. if it wasn't clear to everyone, June and I are kind of like spooky bitches. And so, like, I think that this whole thing is perfect. I'm so glad that we're getting to do it right now.
Literally wearing a skull necklace right now. Just a big dumb goth bitch. That's why they asked me to do this.
But okay, so according to Hagley, who is an expert in this kind of thing, she will disclose hauntings if they are open and notorious. Like, if there have been multiple sightings, the neighbors know, maybe you've written a florid Reader's Digest article about it. because along the lines of the fact that this could be stigmatizing for the home. And, like, state law is difficult. Like, to be honest, I did not dig through the legal code for home buyers for every state, but I have read on legal blogs, law blogs,
law blogs.
Thank you. That three states do mention hauntings in their disclosure law. Minnesota and Massachusetts actually both free sellers from having to disclose such a non-material fact as a haunting. Minnesota.
Non-material is great.
Right. And Minnesota specifically calls them perceived paranormal activities. Yeah.
Y'all keep your free roaming vapors to yourselves.
Yeah, don't have to. New Jersey specifies that a seller does have to disclose hauntings if asked.
If asked is the important part. So Right. Buyer beware.
Exactly. Yeah. Like generally, you don't have to proactively tell anyone about this.
But if you live in California, South Dakota, or if we have any listeners in Alaska, which I know that we do, There are exceptions to this rule. And I love this. So in California, for example, any death on a property, peaceful or otherwise, it states, needs to be disclosed if it occurred within the last 3 years. In Alaska and in South Dakota, they're a little less concerned with death. It's any death within the past year.
Okay.
So, yeah. So that person who got accidentally murdered to death in your foyer 5 years ago, don't worry about it.
Oh, yeah. That one's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's okay. She's just chilling.
But other states, it's going by the good old guacamole rule. Mm-hmm. It's available on request, the information.
Yeah.
It's going to cost you extra. But you know, if you are particularly, we need to come up with another phrase for like afraid of ghosts or like having a prejudice against like deadist, ghostist.
Ghostist?
Spiritist. Are you a spirit? It's like being ageist.
Like, oh, no.
It's like being ageist to an extreme.
To an nth degree.
So if you're spiritist, just know that you should probably ask.
Sure. Yeah. Because generally speaking, like if a potential buyer asks any question about the property to the seller or the agent, they have to answer truthfully to the best of their knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
The rules do change if the death in question was violent, like a murder, a suicide, especially anything that's been publicized
in a Reader's Digest article.
I don't know, in a true crime podcast, something like that.
Where would we hear something like that, though?
Oh, I have literally no idea. That's considered something that would stigmatize the property to the same extent that physical damage, like water damage or, you know, lead paint in the walls, which is a form that I had to sign off on knowing about my house having. They're like, yeah, don't eat the paint chips. I was like, gotcha. Cool. No problem, state of Georgia.
The checklist is like, you know, make sure that the roof is stable, make sure that the foundation isn't cracked, make sure that it's not haunted, and that there's no murders that happened here.
Yeah. Although I will say that there are some situations in which, hauntings can be considered a bonus.
Ooh, okay. This is what I'm here for.
Okay. So just for example, some agents who sell homes in New Orleans hang,
of course, New Orleans,
special placards from the street level signage. You know, like you've seen these placards on real estate signs. It's like open house, swimming pool, contract pending, haunted. Or not haunted. They have both of those specified.
What I want is like a motel sign that has like a neon, like no vacancy.
Uh-huh.
Haunted, not haunted. Bzz, bzz, like,
Yeah, depending on when the ghosts are coming and going.
Mm-hmm.
Like
the Krispy Kreme or the Krispy Kreme hot now.
Hot fresh now ghosts. I'm very into this. I have to admit to y'all that that if I ever hang a sign like upon my person that says in large caps lock block letters "not haunted," it's a lie. That is absolutely overcompensation, and you shouldn't.
Oh, we can
me.
See it in your eyes, Lauren. I don't think you need to advertise.
June's right.
Okay, so having said all of that, what is the Ackley House doing now? I mean, apart from standing by the Hudson handsomely.
Sure, sure. It has actually changed hands, like, relatively frequently. The aforementioned real estate agent Ellis said maybe it's because of the energy there. but right, like, it does have this history of perceived haunting. None of the subsequent owners have reported any ghosts themselves. And a bunch of them have been, like, really pretty public figures. I believe the guy who bought it after the Ackleys were trying to sell it and they went through this whole Stambofsky case was filmmaker Adam Brooks, who lived there for like 20 years. That was his residence, if you're unfamiliar with the name off the top of your head, while he co-wrote the screenplay for Practical Magic.
How freaking perfect is that? I love that. And then after him, Ingrid Michaelson, the, you know, light and bubbly ukulele wielder, lived in it. And then she sold it in 2015. So in 1989, it sold for how much?
$800,000.
Okay. So by the time Ingrid Michaelson is unloading it in 2015, it was listed for $1.9 million.
Ooh.
An old Victorian on the Hudson.
Hey.
Because of course. But she didn't blame ghosts for leaving. I can't imagine that Ingrid Michaelson would see ghosts. Like, she would like living with that lynx, I would imagine.
Oh, sure. Yeah. She'd be like, hey, what do you think of this riff? And, you know, I don't know if ghosts would have an opinion.
I'm sure that old powdered wig would probably have a word or two to say. Try going to a minor chord.
See, maybe this is why she left. Maybe she was like, don't
criticize. Tired of getting notes.
Yeah. That. but it was, in fact, another musician who bought the home. Modest Yahoo bought the home.
Yes.
And lived there for 4 years. Who knew?
Until 2019. And then the home went up for sale in 2020 for $1.9 million and last sold in 2021 for $1,795,000.
So not quite the asking price, but, you know, real estate's weird right now.
Yeah. Okay, so maybe the most important question that we haven't really touched on. I'm surprised that we've gone this entire time without talking about it. Lauren, have you ever seen a ghost?
You know, I can't say it was necessarily a ghost. I have, I don't believe in ghosts, but I have experienced phenomena that I cannot say that I can explain.
That's a pretty big butt, Lauren.
It is a, it's a, that's a large, that's like a Baby Got Back, like, sized butt right there. I mean, like I brought that friend over, our friend Cody, you know Cody.
Oh, yes, Cody. Perfect.
Not
perfect.
Specifically because I wanted them to do a vibe check. Like, they're one of my best friends. Like, I wanted them to check to see the house in general. It's a thing that I'm excited about. Come check out this very expensive thing I might embark on. But, right, like, the fact that they did a vibe check was welcome. Partially because the house that I'm buying is a estate sale. And, you know... The former owner, I'm not sure where she passed. It might have been in the house.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's from the 1960s. Any number of things could have happened there.
Oh, well, of course. 1960s Atlanta? Come on.
Right?
Come on. I have seen, I'm fairly, no, not fairly. I am absolutely 1,000% certain I've seen a ghost.
Yeah?
So, yeah. So I was staying with I was a young child. I was staying at my grandmother's house. And my great-grandmother at that time was in a nursing home, which was almost literally just across the street from the house.
Oh, wow. Uh-huh.
And I was sleeping in her old room. And I recall one night waking up because the light in the bathroom next to that bedroom was turned on and, like, light was flooding into the room in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, kind of sat up with a start. I didn't have my glasses on because I had been asleep.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a figure, a shadowed figure in the doorway, just sort of poking its head into the room. And it made it made a surprised noise. Like they did, like they poked their head into the room, not expecting to see somebody lying in the bed, and went, huh, and withdrew really quickly. And for some reason in my like 9-year-old brain, I was like, my Lola is asking me to get up. So I got up. So I woke up and I went to the bathroom and I brushed my teeth. I walked into the living room. It's the middle of the night. I'm wearing my glasses by this point. And in the living room, my great grandmother, my nanai, was sitting in the chair she normally sat in, right by the front window, just looking out onto the lawn. And it freaked me the hell out. And I ran to my Lola's bed and like dove under the covers and slept between her and Lolo like for the rest of the night. And then nobody believed me in the morning until they got news that in the middle of the night, Nanai had suffered some internal bleeding and had to be emergency rushed to the hospital in the middle of the night, probably right around the time that I saw her in the living room. So I've had close personal experience with the supernatural. So I am like, I am so on board with this whole like, let me at this house. Somebody give me a couple $1 million so I can move into this house on the Hudson in New York and just live out my
ghostly ghostly dreams.
my Lynxy fantasies.
Yeah. Oh, see, all of mine are much more easily explainable than that. Like I don't know, like one of the theaters that I volunteer at around town sometimes, you know, like I would be there after hours at weird times when no one else was around. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I would hear weird sounds coming from places where, I mean, it's an old building, you know, things happen in old buildings, but sounds that I couldn't quite explain in places that I couldn't quite explain them having come from, kind of hot and cold areas, stuff like that.
I just walked through somebody.
Right. Yeah. That kind of thing. And there was this one specific, really rhythmic knocking that would happen. That was just like really almost inquisitive. It was just like a kind of thing happening. I don't know if that picked up on Mike at all, but this went on for a number of weeks. And then we found out that there were raccoons living in the air vents, so.
speaking of furry rodents moving into your house.
Where is this transition going?
No, just going back to the links. Oh,
going back to the links. Great. So, I'm back with you. Cool.
All right. So what have we learned? One, old houses are awesome and mm-hmm. should all of them should come with ghosts, in my opinion.
Yes, absolutely.
But if living with a ghost is not your jam and you're buying a house, just ask. Because they have to tell you. It's entrapment.
Do.
If you see it's ghostly, it's entrapment and containment. It's the grid.
Oh no. Oh dear. Okay.
Yeah. So buyer beware is like the biggest thing. And also like if you live in Alaska, you know, you got a year. It's okay.
You got 365 days, and that's all that they're going to give you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Unless it's a leap year, obviously.
Yeah. heck. So, June, if people want to hear more from you, where can they find you?
Well, you can find me. I have a website, michaeljune.com. That's M-Y-K-A-L, because I have to be extra. M-Y-K-A-L. J-U-N-E, like the month, michaeljune.com for all your michaeljune.com needs. That has links to all my socials. If you follow me on Twitter, just know that it's a mess. But yeah. But I have links, you know, shows that I've worked on. I'm a writer, so, you know, articles that I've written, music that I make, that kind of thing. You know, spooky bitches got to bang on guitars.
It's necessary. It's in our contract, mm-hmm. actually. Yeah. you don't want to cross the spooky bitch slash legal department. That's terrible. My full name, I don't think I said it at the top, is Lauren Vogelbaum. You can find me around the internet. On Instagram, I am at Vogelbaum, like VOGELBOMB, because I was really feeling myself that day. On Twitter.
You are the bomb.
Oh, thank you. No, you. Oh, both of us. No, yeah, you too, Max. On Twitter, I'm Grammar Monkey, because that happened in like 2009. And
it's very AOL Instant Messenger kind of handle.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Lauren, June, thank you all so much for being here.
Oh, and thank you for having us.
Yeah. You know, it was much better than the normal two fools I am with. y'all are much more enjoyable. But, you know, Ben and Noel, they are both very spooky bitches, too.
They are. It's true.
They are.
It's what brings us together.
Right. But also, we want to give a special thanks to Christopher Hasiotis and Yves Jeffcoat, who are, you know, here with us in spirit, obviously.
In spirit.
Obviously, Ben Bolin, Noel Brown, the normal host, who will be back next week, of course. Special thanks to Alex Williams, who composed this theme right here. Our research associates, Jeff Bartlett and Zach Williams.
Thanks, Jeff. Thanks, Zach.
And, of course, the haunted spirit of our show, Mr. Jonathan Strickland. Whose ghost will be around to haunt us someday soon, but hopefully that day is not today. Just don't say his name two more times. It's Beetlejuice rules.
Ooh. Got you.
And in the words of our fast and furious leader, Noel Brown, we'll see you next time, folks.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
There's nothing worse than wearing clothes that don't fit right. That's why Tomboy X makes size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. Queer founded and run for over 10 years, you can trust they know a thing or two about making the perfect pair. Feel comfortable in your own skin. Shop online today and use code IHEART for 20% off your first purchase. Only at TomboyX.com. Tomboy X. Fit for you just as you are.
This episode of Ridiculous History is brought to you by Avalon Waterways. Ben, are you in major need of a vacation right now?
Noel, you're a mind reader. I am, and aren't we all?
We are. While cruising remains popular, there's something big happening in the industry, and that is, my friend, smaller ships.
True story. The intimate ships of Avalon Waterways can go where the big ships can only dream, through winding passageways of rolling vineyards and castled hills into the heart of timeless cities and storybook villages.
That sounds like a delight. See how Avalon's smaller ships promise greater discoveries, fewer people, and more of everything.
Limited time special offers await at avalonwaterways.com.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.